What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Call his wife in. How we doing on this Friday morning? How's your boy been? Oh, what a week we had. Oh, what a week we had. Yankees and Mets win their most recent series. And, of course, the New York Knicks pull off two of the greatest wins. Really carbon copies of each other. Down 20. Battle back. Rip the game and the ball away in the final seconds. By Mikal Bridges to seal the deal. Just two incredible wins as we get ready for Saturday game three. And, you know, just as I'm thinking about it, because now we transition, right? Last time I was on, we were celebrating. We were celebrating that second win. We were celebrating the stunning nature of taking the second game in Boston the same way they took the first. And just trying to comprehend how it happened. You know, the choke part of it from the Boston Celtics and the amount of missed threes you heard in the update there. Marco talked about missing, taking 100 threes and missing 75 of them. And the way they play down the stretch and obviously what's going on with them. But then obviously we're talking about how, you know, we got the best closer and how well the coach did and everything. And it was just this miraculous thing. And now we transition into, well, how does the rest of the series look? And damn, now there's the expectations of having to win it. Now I'm fearful of the gut punch. I didn't think a gut punch was coming. We were expecting to lose this series. I wasn't going to be overly hurt. I was going to be disappointed. Anytime you get into a series, you want to win it. There's no such thing as house money. I've said that a million times. But ultimately, if it went the way most people thought and the Knicks would be down 0-2 at this point, it would be just more of that, you know, frustration but easy kind of transition right into the grieving process, and how do they get better for next year? But now, after winning these two games, suddenly, now the fear of, well, they have to actually do this thing now, and if they don't, it's going to be devastating. If they don't pull it off, if they don't finish it off, if they don't figure out a way to win the series, we're going to be heartbroken. And what I'll say is I was listening to it all day, and I know it started with Shaq and Charles Barkley talking about the idea that it's a must-win for the New York Knicks, and I've been hearing it kind of all day as I was sitting in my house trying to wake up my son on the school bus. I already told that story. Sorry you missed it. You can go back on the Odyssey app and check it out. Like, I think it's borderline disrespectful to say the New York Knicks have to win this game. I understand. Listen, do you want to win this game? Of course. Do you want to put your foot on the throat of the Boston Celtics and don't give them any breath? Don't give them any reason to believe, make them think this series is over, obviously, and you would think it pretty much should be if they do win a game number three? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do they need to come out with better game? Do they need to play better? Absolutely. Offensively, they need to be better. They need to be more efficient in the first half. Can't fall behind 20 points. That is, although it has been, is not going to be moving forward a recipe for success. So, yeah, you need to better. You know, OG needs to be better offensively than it was in game two. You can't score 5 points. Even Mikal Bridges, we all have been throwing him flowers over the last couple of days with his clutch performances, really, the last three games, the closeout game against Detroit and the first two games against the Celtics. But you can't go 0 for 9 to start the game. You can't have your first bucket in the fourth quarter. Like, they've got to figure out a way to be better early on in the game. They got to be better shooting foul shots. They got to be better turning the ball over. There's a lot of ways the Knicks can improve. They really haven't played their best basketball except for the final minutes, the final quarter of these games. So they got to put together a complete game, no doubt. But I talked about it yesterday, and I feel the same way today. They've answered a lot of the questions I had. A lot of questions about their toughness. A lot of questions about whether or not Cat is soft. And although he hasn't played all that well, I think he's shown that he's not soft. A lot of questions about Mikal Bridges. A lot of questions about this coach and his ability to make adjustments. And I think he's clearly outcoached Mazzulla terribly. I mean, they're fouling Mitchell Robinson to have him get off the floor because the double big lineup that Tibbs threw at him is causing them real problems. He's had really good adjustments offensively. They're getting what they want at the end of the games. Like, all the questions I had about the Knicks, I feel like they've answered. And all the comparisons to last year's team, and we love that team. Well, we love this team now. And the way they've played and the way they've managed to close out these games, I feel really good about this Knicks team. And as much as I'll take these first two games and talk about, well, now they can win the series. Now they have to win the series. Now it's also going to be a series. I do not expect the Boston Celtics to roll over and die. And to say that they need to win this game because if they win this game, well, now suddenly the pressure's on the Knicks. Yeah, pressure's on the Knicks now. Pressure changes from pressure was on the Knicks down 20 points in the third quarter of game two. I trust the Knicks now to bounce back. I don't think that this loss would be a death knell. I don't think that if they don't sweep them, if they win game three, what are they going to say? Well, now you got to win game four. Must win game four. Don't get like at some point we have to trust the Knicks to be able to lose the game against the Boston Celtics and feel like they can still be in this series. And I do believe in them. And I do think, listen, I want them to win. I think they have an excellent chance to win. The Garden is going to be freaking nuts 3:30 tomorrow. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. And they have put the fear into the Boston Celtics. Fear in their own ability. Fear in their own ability at the end of these games. Fear of the Knicks closing. Like, if this game is close in the fourth quarter, I expect the Knicks to win. I do. But if that's not how it goes, I'm listening all day to... They better win this game and not give Boston breath, because then the momentum and then all the pressure goes on game four. Yeah, that is true. If the Boston Celtics win on Saturday, all the pressure shows up to the Knicks in game four, because we all know you can't just have that lead dissipate. You can't go back to Boston tied 2-2 for game five. But to say they have to win, that the momentum can't shift on them, that they'd be unable to recover, is not fair. And not in line with what we've been talking about this team doing over the last two games. They've shown toughness. They've shown ability, mental fortitude, closing out games. They've been the better team in the fourth quarter. Their legs are there when clearly, I mean, they're dealing with Porzingis' issue and his physical issue. And clearly Tatum is bothered by a wrist that he hurt against Milwaukee. Orlando rather, and clearly Brown doesn't look the same. So they're dealing with stuff. The Knicks are better in late in these games. Their legs, because of all the minutes have been played, that seems to feel like a positive right now. Something we've yelled about all year feels like a positive now. All the questions we had all year feel like we have answers to them now. And I expect them to play well. I expect them to play better. And I expect them to give the Celtics a real game, and this game is going to be in the balance in the fourth quarter. And if so, I trust the Knicks to pull it out because that's what we've seen. But if it goes the other way, I'm not tucking myself into a corner and being all, you know, well, hey, there it goes, and all the momentum. No, I trust this team to rebound for a game four. Those two games guarantee one. When you're the underdog to the level the Knicks were the underdog, to the point of no one expecting them to win the series, to the point where we're debating whether it would be a bigger upset than knocking off the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl. When it's David and Goliath, winning these two first games doesn't win them the series. It makes it a series. Now the Celtics are on the run. Now the Celtics, they're still only plus 100 to win the series. Like, this is a battle. The Knicks are in a battle. They're in a dogfight, and they've proven to be the better fighter. So let's see, whatever happens on Saturday, this is going to be a battle. It wasn't going to be easy just because they took the first two games. And I expect the Celtics to play like a champion that they are, and really give a big-time effort on the road where they've been a better road team this entire year. And they're not going to change. You heard Tatum's cut there in the open. They're going to shoot their threes. They're going to play their game. It won them a championship last year and got them two separate 20-point leads in games one and two. So I'm looking forward to this game. But whatever happens, this New York team, I'm bought in. I love them as much as last year's team. I believe in them more than last year's team. They're better than last year's team. They're more talented than last year's team. And they have proven to me that they can go into Boston and win. They have proven to me they can come back from deficits and win. And they have proven to me that even if they lose a game in this series, that it's not over. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Antonio in Dover Plains. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, C-Mac. What's up, brother?
How we doing?
All right, I want to talk to you about the Mets, about the Knicks, but real quick on the Mets. I told you this before, like 2 weeks ago. Acuña, he needs to be in the lineup
every day. I'm with you now. I was a Beatty guy early on. I wanted to see Beatty get his chance.
Oh, my God, no.
I don't know about, oh, my God, no. He's actually been fairly, you know, better. But, yes, I agree with you.
No.
Acuña, not better than Acuña, better than Beatty was when the first couple weeks of the season. But yes,
yeah,
I agree with you. Acuña, he's hitting 300. His ability to run the bases, play defense, he comes through with clutch hits. He does everything.
He's been really energy to the team.
Yep.
He's not his brother. He don't have the power of his brother, but he could hit. The kicker hit, plays good defense. But him and Taylor, Taylor, I didn't know this guy has this defense. This guy's incredible at center field. But that's really quick on the Mets. But on the Knicks, when they won on Wednesday night, I was dying to listen to you. But I didn't do no overtime in my job, so I couldn't wait for you at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, I had to listen to Keith. He's not a big Knicks fan like you. But with the Knicks, I can't stand Reggie Miller. I can't listen to him. He's a Knick hater.
Oh,
Chuck and Zach, Knick haters.
I think
yeah,
that's
they are.
No. Well, and thank you for the call, Antonio. I will agree. I'll say this. I don't think Reggie Miller has been a Knick hater at all. I mean, have you heard him down the stretch of these games? And this happens with all national broadcasters, but the Celtic fans, I've seen a bunch of stuff on social media. The Celtic fans are acting like he's a Boston hater. He's been more than fair to the Knicks down the stretch of these games. How could you not? As they're rallying from 20 points down, as they're going on 21-2 runs. I don't think, and honestly, and I'll say this too, I don't think Reggie Miller's that good. I mean, not that I ever get too hung up on broadcasters or really get into, oh, this guy's great, that guy's terrible. I ultimately don't care, especially for national broadcasters. But I do think because of the history we have with him, if, I don't know why, it does feel like a big game when I hear Reggie Miller's voice, because I think of the big games of my childhood. So I actually like, I don't think he's overly good at it. He's okay. But his voice makes me think of the 90s playoff runs and the playoffs against the Pacers and the Knicks. And it's almost like when you hear the NBC song that John Tesh wrote. Like, you hear that, I think of Marv Albert, I think of the Knicks, I think of
those playoff series. So like when I hear Reggie Miller's voice, it does make me feel like, okay, this is a big playoff game. It reminds me of watching, it just takes me back. But I certainly don't think he's been a Knick hater. Now, last year, when they played the Pacers, did he have some fun with it? Yeah, but I have not got the impression for a second that he's been unfair to the Knicks or that it's been, you know, tough to watch or listen and feel like, oh, he's constantly knocking the Knicks. I haven't gotten that at all. Let's go to Omar in North Arlington. What's up, Omar?
C-Mac, what's up, brother? So I totally disagree with you, man. Mm-hmm. Saturday is a must-win game.
That's crazy.
Why? Because we just won two games in Boston.
Yes.
We weren't supposed to win two games in Boston.
Right.
You know, the whole playoffs, we've been a better away team than a home team, and that needs to change.
I agree.
You know, we need to put our foot on their throats and make a statement. We need to protect home court and let them know that we're for real.
We said this already, though. Like, what do we got to go? And then if they win game three, is game four a must win? Because you don't want to lose at home?
More so. Of course it is.
Don't you trust the Knicks?
Of course I do. No,
it doesn't sound like you do. It's when you say it's a must win, you're indicating that if they lose game three, they're going to lose the series.
No. Hell no.
That's what you're saying.
If we lose game three, we're going to give them hope.
And they don't deserve
any of that. We need to put our foot on their throats and we need to protect the garden.
We
need to be a better home team and we need to turn this around. We cannot be a better away team than home team.
Well, I don't see why not.
The garden is going to be lit on Saturday and we need to show that we can hold it down.
I don't disagree that I want them to play well, but when you say they need to win, when you say they need to win, you're saying that they can't win if they lose. That's what need means. Must. It's a must win. Meaning if you don't win it, what's the opposite of must? It's a rhetorical question. Don't answer it. You know what I'm saying? It's saying you don't trust them. That if they lose this game, you're going to be, they give them hope. Oh, we can't play well at home. Oh, all those things will come rushing back. That's my main point. My main point is, for months, we didn't trust them. As Sean Grande and the Celtics end of game call that we played yesterday, as he said, early in the season, you know, counted out as an absolute NBA championship contender. Like, that's how he felt about the Knicks. When beat by Boston, we didn't trust them. Cat soft. They don't make enough adjustments. Tibbs isn't the guy to take you over the hump. We didn't trust them. I trust them now. And I'm not going to go back to not trusting them because they may lose one game to the defending champions. So, yes, I agree. They got to play better at home. They lost 2 out of 3 to Detroit at home. Not good enough. But how many statements do you expect them to make in a row? Game one was a statement. Game two was a statement. Now they need a statement in game three or they can't go on? You can't give the Boston Celtics any bit of breath. I understand that. It's just a cliche thing to say. So if you give them breath, then they're going to blow our house down? Mike, I'm not ready. I believe the team has earned my respect enough and my trust enough. Where if they lose game three, I'll still be confident in game four. Like, they have to win. We all know they have to win two more games. But I just don't like that take. I got to be honest with you. I don't like that take. I don't like the cliched stuff I've heard all day. You don't want to give them breath. The momentum completely switches to the Knicks, to the Celtics. The pressure's all on the Knicks. They lose this game. Like, those are all true, but you're indicating that the Knicks can't handle it. That's what we're saying. When you're saying that, oh, they better not lose this game because you give the Celtics breath. Oh, you better not lose this game because then all the pressure turns to the Knicks. True. They can handle it. They have handled it. Where was all the pressure and momentum when they were down 20? Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, they've earned my trust where I expect them to play well in this game. And I'm not saying they can't win game three. I think they have a very good chance to win game three. I feel better about game three than I did about game two. I think there's a very good chance they go up 3-0. But if they don't, I'm not going to go, oh, well, now we've given Boston a breath of air and the momentum is shifting. Okay, they'll be fine. They've stabilized in games. Now they have to stabilize inside the series. That's what this is. Did we think we were just going to walk all over them? And maybe they will. Maybe we don't have to have this conversation. Maybe they will just walk all over them. Maybe the Celtics will roll over and die. But if they don't, and they come out and act like the actual team that must win the game, then there's game four. And then there's game five. I trust this team. And I think the last two games indicate that we should. And I just don't like all the platitudes and cliches we throw out there about, oh, we can't have this, can't have that. What did you think was going to happen with the Boston Celtics? Mitchell in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, B-Mac. How you doing? Boy, oh boy. Where do we start off today? Well, first of all, we'll start with the Yankees really fast. A week from today, you know, we'll be in next Friday. I think that the game is going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to meeting you, and we're going to have a great time next Friday night. So that'll be number one.
Okay, cool.
Number two, it looks like we're going to get LeMahieu back tonight. He'll probably play third base or second base. So that'll give us hopefully a little more offense.
Do you think they're going to get him tonight? Is that what you said?
Yeah, they already said I do fantasy. So you say tonight he's going to be reinstated tonight. He's coming back tonight to play.
Really? I have not seen that. I missed that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I heard that they said it was possible he could meet them on the West Coast. I did not hear that he was definitely going to be with the team.
Yeah, well, that's what I read just to my fantasy and everything. That's what, okay. But I could be wrong, but that's what it is. So, but if he does get back,
I want to know who your fantasy that is. But yeah, okay.
I do a whole bunch of fan tracks and a whole bunch of things to give you that. But getting now more to the Knicks game, okay, here's the more important part about the Knicks here. You know, the Knicks played really hard, but at the part that every Knicks fan has to understand, the head coach of Boston Celtics, at the end of the series, if they don't win the series, should be fired. He has done the worst job coaching I've ever seen in my life. You've been up two games in a row, up 20 points.
Yeah.
And he blows it, and the Knicks come back. But the Knicks can't keep on playing this game. Well, we're going to get down 20 points, we're going to come back every game. It's just not going to happen. I mean, and if, like you said before, and everyone said, you know, all three shows have said it, a team that shoots the 20 out of 64 for three-pointers is not going to win. Is not going to win a series.
Yeah.
And that's what Boston's done the whole series, and this is what they've done all year to get to the record. But the point of the matter is that it's just mind-boggling for a coach. And I'm happy the Knicks are winning. I mean, listen, I'm a lot older. I was in the Garden when the Knicks were really good, when we went to the championship, and you know, and all those years with, you know, with Ewing and without a point guard, and you know, this excitement at the Garden. Like, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'm going to be there on Monday. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time, and the atmosphere is going to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the matter is that the team is getting lucky because the Boston Celtics are handing them to get back into these things. Because
and thank you for the call, Mitch. I'm up against the break here. I think lucky is a bit. I mean, have the Boston Celtics played poorly? You're sure. Have they missed a lot of shots? Have they missed, you know, 20? Have they missed 75% of their three-pointers? Yeah. I mean, they missed 75 of 100. So they haven't played well. And down the stretch in particular, they look scared. I said it yesterday. Everyone in the building could feel what was happening. No one more than the Boston Celtics. You could feel it. You could see it in their face. The Knicks thought they would win. We thought they had a chance to win. Nobody was more confident that the Knicks were going to win than Boston. Like, that's just how it felt. And I understand because of that dynamic, you're afraid to let that dynamic change. I get that. And so am I. So am I. I want to win the game. But I'm just saying, I trust this Knicks team, and I don't think they just got lucky. I think part of it's luck. Everyone gets lucky. There's no game. You know, theoretically, they could hit all their shots. Every team could say, you know, every team gets lucky. Every team who wins gets lucky on some level. But yeah, the Knicks were a little bit lucky. The Celtics have played terribly. I don't think anyone would disagree. The Knicks haven't even played that well and somehow managed to win two games in Boston. So yeah, sure. But they've also taken it to them. They've also presented mismatches and problems for them that they've been unable to adjust. Again, I know I've been harping on it. The Boston Celtics fouled Mitchell Robinson and put themselves in the bonus to get Mitchell Robinson off the floor. Think about that. They were like, okay, I can't, no more Mitch Robinson. I can't take it anymore. He's killing us. We got to get Mitch off the floor. That's crazy. That meant the mental advantage the Knicks had over Boston was no more present and obvious than when they're fouling Mitchell Robinson to get Mitch Robinson, the bench player Mitch Robinson, who everybody told me wasn't going to make a big difference when he got back healthy. Like, I mean, took him right off the fouled and put them in the bonus to take him off the floor. Crazy. So, yeah, they got lucky, but they also presented mismatches and played really well down the stretch and sharpened up defensively and completely shut them down. So, yeah, anytime a better team loses to a lesser team, there's some sort of choke or luck or poor playing most of the time. And the Knicks have been a beneficiary of it. But I still think I'm overly impressed with what they were able to accomplish. And I have faith in them. And I expect a big-time effort tomorrow. And if I don't get it, then I expect it in game four. I'm sold on the team. I'm in. Doesn't mean they'll definitely win the series. But this is a fight. This is a series. I didn't expect a cakewalk, even after winning the first two. And if the Knicks after three games were up 2-1, I don't know who would have argued. Who wouldn't have taken it?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, 434. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Ba-na-na-na-na. All right, you guys are all lined up in a pretty little row. So let's get to all these calls as we finish up the show, finish up the week, and get you ready for the rest of the day here on The Fan. You can always go back and check out any part of the 5 hours we did with the free Odyssey app. And the podcasting is there as well. And yeah, get you ready for the rest of this Friday. Look forward to some West Coast baseball, my favorite. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to 10 o'clock tonight. Just all by myself. Everyone's asleep. Start the game. Don't have to, you know, worry, especially now with the kids with the fantasy baseball. They're obsessed. So I'm trying to start the Yankee game, trying to do my book. And it's like, hey, Dad, do we have Riley Green in the lineup? Do we have Green in the lineup, Dad? Do we have Green in the lineup? Yes, I put Green in the lineup. Okay, is Wells there? I won't have any fantasy questions, just me, myself, and I. Looking forward to it. 888-808-1009. And then, of course, Saturday. And I love the feel of it. I like 3:30 start. I like the daytime start. I think it gives it, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. It felt like a lot of those games back in the 90s, they weren't always on primetime. It felt like they were afternoon games a lot. Now, you know, every game's at night. But I like the 3:30 start. Looking forward to it. Big game. Just not must win, that's all. They'll be okay if they lose this game. I still have faith. I believe in them. Phil and Howell, what's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, you know, it's kind of funny how, like, the regular season and playoffs are, like, entirely different. I mean, during a regular season, it's basically all run and gun. And now, you know, obviously in the playoffs, you definitely pick up the defensive, you know, intensity.
And not only it feels like don't you think the game is officiated different as well? I mean, the amount of physicality they're allowing is far greater in the postseason than it is in the regular season.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know what? Knicks are not getting enough credit for, like, the defensive intensity, especially on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first game, the Celtics, like, what, they missed 45 shots. The second game, I think they missed close to, like, 30, mm-hmm. you know, three-point shots. Mm-hmm. See, the Celtics aren't used to this because during a regular season, there was probably no defensive intensity. It was all run and gun. They had all clear open three open mm-hmm. shots, and you know how good they are on the three-point shot, especially when they're open. But now the defensive intensity, especially, you know, when it gets to the heads, hey, guys, we're down 20, all right? We need to really pick it up defensively. And they have, like, you know, really both games midway through the third quarter and the entire fourth quarter. All you got to do is put up your hands, put a you know, a hand in their face, and it's going to arc. You know what I'm saying? It's
going to arc. I do understand, Phil, and thank you for the call. I think you're oversimplifying it. One, a couple things. One, they did win an NBA championship last year with this. So it's not like they're new to the playoffs. It's not like, oh, yeah, sure, this works in the regular season. But once you get into the playoffs, you can't. They can. They did. And there was a parade and the whole bit. And now, let's be fair, I don't disagree with you about the defensive intensity. And the Knicks have done a far better job. They've switched more instead of trying to fight through the screens. They've done a couple things differently, and they have made it tougher. And that's why they wanted Mitchell Robinson off the floor, because he was making it very difficult for Tatum. And obviously OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, that's why they got him here. That's why they traded for Mikal Bridges. They're built for this series. Like, we talked about it a lot. It's not just to win an NBA championship, and certainly that's what you're looking to do. But specifically, they knew Boston's the defending champs. Boston's the team to beat. Having defensive wings like OG and Mikal Bridges are trying to beat the Boston Celtics. And so far, it's obviously helped, and they have really done a far better job than they did in the regular season against them. But that doesn't change the fact they missed open shots. Like, Tatum missed wide open threes. Brown has missed wide open threes. The defense has picked up, and the Knicks have done a better job of it. You can't miss as many as they have without missing open ones. They have gotten good looks and still miss. They've shot in poorly. A lot of it's defense. Some of it's just bad execution. They have shot the ball poorly. Maury and Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. What's going on?
I still think Evan's listening in, and he definitely picked that up, because you know the guy knows nothing about movies. But we'll check in on that another day.
Yeah.
Knicks will win tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. They're in their heads. Their defense is playing well. The Knicks haven't even played well yet,
no.
And they've gotten two wins. I feel pretty confident that they're going
to. Yeah, Maury, I'm really sorry. I put him back on hold. Maybe you could try and see if he can call back. Just too much. I tried to let you go. I thought it was getting better for a second. It's not. I apologize. Look, I think they're in their head too. I want to make this clear. I'm not saying I expect the Knicks to lose or I don't think they can win this game. I'm more confident about this game than I was game two. I was preparing myself for a loss in game two. Let's be fair. All I'm saying is it just bothers me how much emphasis like we put on every. They just won two. They did it in historic fashion. They've taken the first two games in Boston. Do we really think they're going to sweep the Boston Celtics? And is that the only way they can win? Is the only way they can win is if Boston is in some sort of fog and they can't hit threes and they completely choke and anything other than that, if it becomes a battle at any moment, the Knicks aren't capable of it? Because that's what it sounds like to me when we start talking. I understand you don't want to let them off the mat. I get that, of course. I want them to win this game. But all I'm hearing all day was, oh, they better win this game. Important game. Got to win this game. It's just as important for the Knicks as the Celtics. How is that? How is it just as important for the Knicks as it is the Celtics? It's not. It's important. Go get it. Go play well. Pick up your intensity. Be better at home than you were in the Detroit series. Get ready because the Celtics are coming because it's desperation for them. And I do think if the game is close, I expect the Knicks to win. I expect a lot of the same things we saw to happen again if they put themselves in that position. But my point is we've been praising them. We've been talking about it. What a great performance. What a great job. They're answering so many of our questions. We feel so good about them. But hey, God forbid they lose a game, then they're in big time trouble. Hey, Maury, let's see if you can finish up, if your line was any better.
Can you hear me right now?
Yeah,
I'm coming in from Mars.
Much better.
I'm calling from Mars.
Yeah.
All right, so did you get me with Evan first? You heard
yes,
that?
I heard the Evan right. thing. I heard everything you said. It was just choppy and breaking up like a bad reception. Dude, where's my car at the drive-thru?
I'll go back to the next part. A wonderful situation driving my son back from Alabama, listening to the Beatles. Clearance, Clearwater, Pearl Jam, and actually singing songs with them.
Nice.
It was an incredible experience. It's something fun. That I would recommend to any other fathers. One other thing I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're going to win Saturday. They're going to win only because all they have to do is play a decent game because they've won without playing well. They're going to play well. They're going to play defense. The crowd's going to take them over the top. I think we got Boston concerned. They're questioning,
no
are
doubt.
They this good? I think we're in the hedge. And last but not least, let's go New York. Go New York, go. What else can I say?
There's nothing else to say, Maury. Go New York, go. I'm with you. Omar in the Bronx. What's up, Omar?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
All right. I completely agree with you. People need to pump the brakes. People keep forgetting they absolutely dominated us in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they got a little too comfortable coming into these two games.
Right.
The Knicks played great defensively, obviously, but they haven't played. They haven't put a full game together. Neither have the Celtics.
No.
And I'm expecting them. This is the game for them to put one together. I just don't want to get blown out.
Right.
We can lose the game. Don't want to get blown out. If it's a close game, we'll have a chance. And if they win, okay, beautiful. And then we move on to game four.
I don't know how I would put it other than I trust them and the idea that they can't withstand a loss or that this is just, I mean, I've been hearing it all day. So it's been like, I think we have to understand the Celtics are going to come out. I expect a hard fought series. If you think they're going to sweep Boston's going to get one of these games, aren't they? It's going to happen. Yeah. And we have to prepare for it. And you have to understand that the Knicks are in a fight and in a series, and I don't expect it to be easy. And no matter how the first two games went, like, this is going to be tough. This is the defending champs. They're not going to go away. And just because they don't go away doesn't mean that the Knicks can't win. Like, that's
all. Tibbs had to put a better game plan together.
Well, I think
he did.
Oh, he's done a much better game. Again, I'm up against the break. Tibbs has done a much better job. And I feel like he's been, you know, hiding things. I feel like we saw glimpses of Mitch and Cat on the floor at the same time. Not as much as we saw at the Celtics. And maybe that's just a notice it's working while it happened, and so he stuck with it longer. Or maybe it was a plan from the beginning to not show them and then spring it on them. I don't know. But either way, he's completely been the better coach in the series. He had a – I've been curious about and complaining about side-out-of-bounds plays. I thought he drew up a great side-out-of-bounds play. If you remember game one for the shot at the end of regulation, drew up a great backdoor cut for Brunson. He even knew that they were going to foul, obviously, and had a dummy play called with a different inbounder and everything. Like, I thought he's been on top of his game without question. And that's part of it, too. I trust the coach. I trust the team to handle a little bit of momentum switch. That's going to happen. They're going to have to get it back at some point. Because I'm just tired. Like I said, oh, game one, got to make a statement. Game two, got to stamp that first statement. Like how many games do they have to make a statement? How many games do they have to make? Like, you know, you said, oh, they have to prove they can win. Or they have to prove that. Like, no, they've proven everything you need to prove other than winning the damn series. Now it's a series. They're on equal footing. They're just as good as the Celtics, and they just proved it. Now it's a matter of just going out and winning the series. But it's not going to be easy. And Saturday is going to be an amazing atmosphere. I can't wait. We talked about, you know, how much money it is to get in the building. And for some reason, Madison Square Garden doesn't scare me as much as that. Like, I feel like Yankee tickets get to that kind of price. You could see, one, there's less people. One, it's louder in there inherently because it's enclosed. But, like, baseball over the 162, the tickets aren't that expensive. The regular crowd's a little bit different. World Series, suddenly it's $1,000 a ticket, whatever. It wouldn't be that crazy, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you could price people out. I think Madison Square Garden, even with, I feel like it's such a tourist thing anyway during the course of the regular season a lot. And, you know, I don't know how much they lose by, I don't know if they price out people, but I expect, even with the high price ticket, the atmosphere to be insane. And I can't wait for it. Saturday, 3:30 is going to be a big time. I mean, it's the biggest game at Madison Square Garden for the New York Knicks since 1999.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We're going down swinging. 888-808-1019. Another few minutes, rapid fire calls as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. And we take you into the weekend and get you ready for Saturday. We got big series, Yankees and Mets. Mets take on the Cubs, who've been one of the better teams in baseball. 888-808-1019. Then, of course, Saturday, 3:30. The focus of the entire city. Let's get to, but apparently not Rob, in New London. What's up, Rob? What do you want to talk about?
C-Mac, it's always an honor. Real quick on the Knicks point. Oh. I'd much rather be the Knicks than the Celtics. And, yeah, the Celtics, they are the champions. But you know what? Something's not working, and maybe they're not that good, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do get swept. Trent Grisham, the reason why. What's that?
I said maybe. I would be surprised if they get swept, but I do agree with you that I'd rather be the Knicks than the Celtics right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Trent Grisham. Now, I was watching an at-bat a couple nights ago, and I got to tell you, forget about his productivity, you know, his overall numbers, which are very impressive.
Yeah.
You know, henceforth, the reason why I'm calling. But the way he takes at-bats, very impressive is his eye. I got to tell you, he could keep some of his numbers up without going in the, you know, below the Mendoza line, probably like a lot of people expect them to do. Anyway, have a good night.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, look, I don't think anyone expects him to get underneath the Mendoza line. I mean, I think there is some sort of expectation that it's going to be tough for him to keep up what he's doing. I mean, he's having an incredible season. I mean, he's been crazy good. He just hit his 10th home run the other day. 10th. And it was a huge, huge home run. To a pinch hit, two-run home run to tie the game against, again, the San Diego Padres and up until then, the best bullpen in baseball. So that was and he's been incredible. He's great defensively. He's the reason that everyone's upset Dominguez hasn't played that much. They're forcing Trent Grisham into the lineup. He's been outstanding. And he has been a major part. He's at the top of the lineup, or he's hitting, you know, second. He's hitting leadoff, second, fifth. Like, he's right in the middle of things. And defensively, he's great. I mean, when they have Judge, Bellinger, and Grisham in the outfield, I think you can argue that's the best defensive outfield in Major League Baseball. That's how good he is in center, and Bellinger. I know he could play first a little bit too. He's been incredible in the outfield. So Dominguez really hampers the defensive outfield as well. That's part of the reason why he's gotten a couple more days off than people would like. But Grisham, Bellinger, and Judge, that's one hell of a defensive outfield they've got right there. Plus, he's been absolutely killing it, giving great at-bats and being a real catalyst for the team. He's hit like two or three leadoff home runs. Pinch hit two-run home run to tie the game. That's the biggest bat of the game. So, yeah, Trent Grisham has been a major surprise. Ben Rice has been a major surprise. There's been some disappointments as well, but the major surprises have been Goldschmidt hitting 360. Obviously, Trent Grisham and Ben Rice. They have really helped this lineup be what it's been. And despite losing some games and despite having a couple games here or there where they didn't hit, they lead the American League in almost every single offensive category. The offense has been really good. The reason they're losing is three people. Cookie Carrasco, Will Warren, Trent Grisham. Losing my mind. Trent Grisham. Idiot. Devin Williams. Those are the three guys they're losing because of. The fourth and fifth starters have been atrocious, And Devin Williams has obviously famously had his disastrous, which he's cost them single-handedly at least three games, probably four. And hopefully that big outing the other night was what's going to turn his season around, because that was a huge performance. He struck out Tatis. He struck out Machado. He struck out Xander Bogaerts to win a game for the New York Yankees. And that's why you pitch him in those moments, because you can't replace or duplicate that energy he gave out of getting out of that inning. That scream, that, you know, his emotion coming off the mound, saving the Yankees, not giving up a run with a runner at second base, that's something that you need to get him doing. And so to be able to do that in that moment when they really had no choice but to pitch him in extra innings is hopefully going to be a huge boost for him. But we'll see. But I am not giving up on him, and they need to get him right, because when they do, you're talking about a dominant bullpen, and when they have the flaws they do around it, you need that dominant bullpen. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Good morning, Chris. I hope you're having a great start to this glorious morning.
Well, thank you,
and
Brett.
I would like to address respectfully, if I may, to my 11 online social media groups, your callers, and you.
Okay.
About wanting to fire Tom Thibodeau.
Yes.
Okay? And I said, no, we shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know how everyone feels now. And everybody can go suck it.
There you go. I like it, Brett. Although you got to do it better. Suck it. That's kind of how you do it. They play it sometimes on the afternoon show. I used to be a part of it. Anyway. Yeah. I never wanted, I never said they should fire the coach, but I absolutely was critical of him, and I absolutely said it was going to be if they didn't make it through the Piston series, I was concerned, I thought they would fire him, and I thought that it was going to be a conversation when the season ended. It is no longer going to be a conversation. He has had a great couple of games, and I think that's dead. I said that yesterday. So, yeah, if you are an anti-Tibbs guy, plus, let's be honest, even the stuff we're concerned about, the minutes feel like it's been a major positive. It feels like they're ready to play. It feels like it's, now, they still have to accomplish the ultimate goal. They still have another two rounds after this, and we'll see if they can keep up with these playoff minutes after the season they just had. And even their own players questioned how many minutes. But right now, there's no doubt, throughout this entire postseason, Pistons and Celtics, the Knicks have been the better team in the fourth quarter, and it's a compelling case to be made for the reason being all the minutes they played during the regular season. So Tibbs has had a great run here. Great run. Is completely out-coaching Masula. So thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side. Always appreciate it. Everybody, enjoy the weekend. Stay tuned the rest of the day here on The Fan. Get ready for Saturday, baby. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.